The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Today on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome Zakri Kheir, CEO of Allianz Malaysia. And good morning, Zakri.
Morning.
Now, as always, folks, if you have any questions about the local insurance industry and or about Allianz Malaysia in particular, send it in via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. So, Zakri, the insurance space ripe for disruption, insurance tech, that's all the buzz in the industry right now. So set the stage for us. What is insurance tech? What does the digitization of insurance really mean?
Yeah, that's a very good question. That's a million-dollar question. It's not something that's very easy explain. First of all, let's take this. Customers, nobody wakes up in the morning and wants to buy insurance.
Okay.
There's no consciousness as to insurance. It's not like you have a desire to go to a bank or something like that. There is no desire to buy insurance. I mean, why? I'll tell you why. Because human beings, we feel we're indestructible. So we're born with this very nice thing called hope. So every time you wake up in the morning, it's a new day, it's a brand new day, and I always believe, I'm indestructible, so nothing bad's going to happen to me. So buying insurance is an alien thought in a human being. Mm. Okay, that's one. And the other thing is, you don't go about in life feeling that something's bad is going to happen to you. Mm. Right. So all this comes into play. So when we have stuff like InsurTech, it's basically rethinking of the model. Let's put it this way. I give you a quote. I give you an example. In the 12th or 11th century, I think he was a Venetian merchant, and his wife, who was not well, went to the south of Italy. In those days, it's not Italy. Basically, you had city-states. So in his letter, how are you? He wrote, this one prayer. My business is okay, but insurance, oh my God, easy to take money, very difficult to pay my claim.
Okay. Got it.
So if you then fast forward to 21st century, I think it's the same kind of feelings that the consumers would have about insurance.
All right. So how do you counter the kind of apathy in the markets then? Again, because you know it's such a big buzzword right now, or insurance tech, we're going to send it out to the masses, make it easy. How do you actually go about
it? So I think insurance tech must do is to embed insurance in the customer journeys. Insurance should be viewed as no longer a commodity, but something you can use to solve a problem. I'll give you an example, a very good example. Our partner, SpeedRent, which is basically a rental app, not high-end, middle. Landlord and tenant does everything on the app. Normally, if you want to rent an apartment or a house, you have to pay, I think, 3 months' deposit plus utilities. So what we do is the tenant only has to pay 1 fund, and the rest is then securitized by an insurance model where we then provide the guarantee to the landlord. So it's simple. So he's selling like 8 policies a day now, and just on this. So it's very simple. So these are the new things that were example of InsurTech, and so it means process. It means a whole journey. And it means re-looking at the way or remodeling the products that we offer to the market.
And also it means access to your end users, right? Your customers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And not to put insurance in the face of the customer, but as part of a process that resolves a particular problem, solves a particular job, does a particular job for them.
All right. Now, Allianz Malaysia is one of 19 insurance companies and takaful operators licensed by Bank Negara. And everyone appears to be jumping on this digitization bandwagon, right? So how do you set yourself apart? Is this all about first mover advantage here?
I don't think it's about first mover advantage. I think it's about survival. I believe in the very near future, if you're not part of this, then you'll be out of it and you'll be out of the game because consumer behavior is already changing. Yeah? Again, Kant's point that there is no consciousness to buy insurance. Mm. So you have to be part of a particular process, hopefully a digital process, where people see, okay, there's this element of insurance. Why not? Part of this process, I don't mind buying it because it helps me resolve or does a job for me.
Right.
So,
Now, earlier you mentioned Speed Rent, and I believe they are one of some expected 10 tie-ups that you expect for this year in order to push your digitization agenda. What other names can you drop here? How far along are you in this process?
Okay, I'll give you the ones that confirm. Basically, we've confirmed with Recommend, which is a contractor app, service app, which provides services to people. All you need to do is, if you're part of the app, you just, I want someone to come and clean my house or something like that. Mm. You can get it through app. Another particular partner is Service Hero. We're talking to a few more. I think we're looking at a very interesting telematics app from Katsana. Yeah? And a few others which is not confirmed yet. But we'll probably make some kind of more definitive announcements towards the third quarter in respect to this. Yeah, so it's all
You've only got a month left in the third quarter, though.
So. No, I mean, yeah, but we have basically partners with telematics, partners with connected cars, partners with, smaller e-hailing type partners and stuff like that.
So now, is your digitization agenda then based on inorganic growth? It's these tie-ups, right, as opposed to coming up with your own native platform? Is that the idea here?
Okay.
Or is it a mix of both?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So it's a mix of both, but we adopt the B2B2C model in the digitization. I really don't know whether there's such a word as digitalization in the English dictionary, but okay, let's say digitization.
Yeah, okay. Let's make it up. Yeah, sure, why not?
So it's a B2B2C model where we will create an opportunity to work with new partners. See, the model in insurance today is very traditional. It's agents, brokers. And you design models, you design relationships that are one-to-one with this particular. And full suite. So you create a front-end system, an agent can use it, a broker can use it. But it's based on a customer walking to an agent's office, and then the agents issue a particular cover note, and that's it. The model that we're looking at is different. First of all, we need to interact with customers in many other ways. We find that there are digital, through the digital medium, there's an opportunity to interact customers on, like for example, SpeedRent. You would never think that insurance could be a solution to a particular problem. And through that, you get. So is this opportunity of opening up this with the digital part? So it's a technology question here, which is the open API. So application program interface. In the old days, if you want to interact with anybody, okay, is your data this form, my data, you've got to find a way to interface. With open APIs, you're able to have seamless interface between one system to another very quickly. So basically what we're doing now, we have installed a API framework layer system in our IT infrastructure, and we will be producing products via open API. So I can, for example, put a motor policy on any website very quickly in 14 days.
Got it. Okay. Now, that all sounds fine and fancy, but then what does that mean for your 1,900 employees, your network of almost 18,000 agents as of last year? What does that mean for them?
Okay. For them, our model is still the same. The agent model is still a B2B2C model because we are B, they are B, and then they're C. So what we're telling the agents is we encourage them to change as well, to change their model. They have to embrace the digital world. They have to use Facebook, Twitter. They have to find new means of digital mediums to actually connect to their customers. And we will support them. We're not a B2C model. We don't do, if you can see, Allianz doesn't really do much direct, but we do B2B2C.
Okay, but yet at the same time, you know, we look at some numbers here. From 2015 to 2016, there was a 33% drop among your agents in the life sector. Mm. And I understand your overall number this year has fallen further as well. So essentially, digitization means job cuts?
No. That drop or that reduction has got nothing to do with digitization.
Okay.
It's basically productivity. So we did an analysis and we found that especially in the life space, our agents, some of the life agents were not productive. So it's 80-20 rule. We realized that 20% of the life agents were producing 80, and the 80% were only producing 20.
All right.
So
Now, and recently, we also had a PM here on this very same program, The Breakfast Grill, saying that they intend to raise the level of professionalism among insurance agents. Now, that's as an industry-wide level. What about you guys? What kind of initiatives are Allianz Malaysia specifically spearheading in order to raise the quality of your agents, at least those who remain?
Yeah, we do a lot of with agents. We do a lot of certification programs. We do a lot of training and stuff like that. So the certification, but the difference in our certification is there's a lot of governance requirements, because at the end of the day, we have to teach our agents how to interact with the customer. The main complaint the consumers have against insurance is we don't tell the truth, fine print and stuff like this. So this is something we're trying to emphasize, especially to our agents, because mis-selling is a no-no for us.
Got it. Now, coming up in just a bit, we'll take a closer look at your company's performance. Again, I'm speaking to Zakri Kheer, CEO of Allianz Malaysia.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Zakri Kheer, CEO of Allianz Malaysia. Now, Zakri, let's look at your company's performance. 2017, off to a rocky start. First quarter, net profit down 8.2% on year. What happened there?
Basically, what happened is, first of all, we have to divide the business. The life business is actually doing pretty well. It's growing, and profits are up. But unfortunately, the non-life business, which contributes something like 70% to the profit, there's some issues. One main issue is we have a particular dispute with a particular reinsurer, and being as conservative as we are, we have made provisions for that. So that's basically that we... Last year, I think we got first quarter 115 profit. This year is 108. So basically, we had to make a provision of about 16 million. So if you add that one up, actually, we're not too bad. Actually, we're slightly better than last year. So that's basically the provision. But this provision will carry forward throughout the year unless and until we resolve the dispute with
this
particular.
And is there a light at the end of that tunnel, that dispute?
Yeah, we think we're right, as always. Everybody thinks.
We'll see.
But the point here is the underlying factors like claims ratio, expense ratios are basically still very good. Let me talk a bit about what's happening this year. Again, the life business is growing. We're actually at double-digit life business, which is impressive compared to the market, where I think the market is single. Whereas last year, the market was double-digit, we were single-digit. Mm-hmm. The difference was because last year, I mean, we've been coming off the traditional savings business. There were still people amongst other players in the life business that were actually still doing savings business. Hence, they grew faster than us last year. But this year, I think everybody realized that the savings business is not a business of the future and protection. And so we're doing very well now. We were proven right, so that this year our protection business has increased quite significantly. We're experiencing a double-digit growth in ANP, whereas the market is single-digit. However, non-life, last year, we didn't do too well. We actually regressed about 4.5% versus a market growth of 1. The reason for that is because we came off a lot of the large corporate accounts, power plants, and as well as the oil and gas accounts, for obvious reasons. But this year, it's a reversal too. So the market for the first quarter is down 2 point something, negative 2 point something. We're up about 2%. So... basically the sources of business that we're basically doing, like agents and stuff, are still quite strong.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Also, now looking at some other numbers for your general sector, your market share is almost 12%.
Yes.
Again, that's for general insurance. Over on the life side, market share of about 6.6%.
Yes.
So how far were those digitization efforts that we spoke about? How far would that go towards, you know, helping you gain a bigger slice of that pie?
Yeah, that's very interesting. We think there are two models. There's the traditional model and there's the agency model. And I don't think the market will expand that much via this particular model, right? Why? Because consuming behavior is changing. So I think the way to grow the insurance market is to grow the segment which is where... The segment which people have not consumed yet. I'll give you an example, very simple example. There are probably 8 million houses in Malaysia. Only 2 million are insured because they take a loan from a bank. 6 million is uninsured. So the market will not move unless some of these people in the 6 million category starts to buy more insurance.
But how do your comments jive with, say, Bank Negara's ambitions to raise the, say, the penetration of life insurance rate? It's been stagnant over the last 5 years, you know, mid 50% or so. They aim to increase that by 20 percentage points, up to 75%, right? So, you know, doesn't that go against what you just described there?
It's not that it goes against, but it's tough. It's going to be difficult to increase the penetration. We have to find new ways and means to reach out to people. We need to make insurance a little bit more interesting for people, because at this present moment, it is not an interesting subject.
Right. So, okay.
That's a bad fact. But the onus is on us, and we have to be more creative. And this is where digitization offers a great opportunity for us to make the interface with the customer and to make it a little bit more interesting for the customer.
Right. Yeah. Speaking about the lack of excitement, you know, here we are over a month since the de-tarification, all these big words, right? De-tarification of motor insurance premiums went into effect here in Malaysia. Give us an update here. Have we seen that kind of exuberance before July 1st really translate into, you know, more market-based premiums? More competitive rates?
Okay.
Are people saving money?
Yeah, I'm glad you used the word de-tarification, because it is de-tarification rather than liberalisation. I think what's happening is the regulators are taking the first baby steps towards opening up the market by dismantling the tariff. So that's the proper definition.
Right. But what I'm getting at is this: has this been all hype? And you know, here we are, what, 4 or 5 weeks since the de-tarification. And nothing substantial has really happened. So what's missing here? Is it the Bank Negara policy side? Is it on the insurer side? What's missing?
Okay. First of all, again, there's a lot more hype than but I think the hype was there was necessary to create more awareness amongst the public that there's going to be a change. Because again, insurance is not a very interesting subject.
Mm. Okay.
The reason why there's not much hype, because I think when people actually go out and purchase a motor insurance, they realise that the differential of versus last year is not very much, because...
But 10% either way, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So that's where, say, oh, it's not that much. So
what then has to happen? That quantum or that differential, does that have to be increased in order to get markets really excited?
It will. In time, it will. But not only will we need the price to change, but also the product infrastructure, the nature of the product, the language, the wordings. Mm. What do you actually offer a customer via motor insurance?
And what does that mean? So more coverage for a similar price point?
Yeah, more coverage for a similar price point, different type of coverages, options to add in other stuff inside the motor policy.
Lower prices?
Okay, lower prices perhaps, but it really depends on... Okay, let me guess. Singapore is just, I don't know, 10 minutes away from JB, let's say. Mm. Okay. If you take off the currency exchange and you just compare one for one, Singapore pays 3 times more in terms of motor insurance than us. So that gives you an indication where our pricing are. Actually, the pricing of Malaysia, motor insurance in Malaysia is actually pretty cheap compared, because we've been in a tariff environment for 30 over years, you see.
All right. Now, real quick, we got to move on here. Sure. So you were in talks to acquire HSBC Amanah Takaful Malaysia, but it was called off back in April. What happened there?
Basically, we couldn't come to an agreement, you know.
All right.
And respectfully, we decided that it would be best to disengage. And that's basically it. There's nothing else. Like in any M&A, you've got to come to some kind of agreement terms. But we couldn't.
Both right. parties, yeah. Sure. Now, we understand you're still keeping your eye on the Takaful sector. And you know, just last month, right here on this program, we spoke to Anthony Lee, chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia, and he said, and I quote, "There's always room for consolidation." So, question is, are you still in the market for acquisitions? Who are you looking at? Drop some names here.
Sorry, we have the appetite. We're very keen. We're looking, but at this present moment, there are no names. That is, yeah.
So PC, man. All right, this past May also, something perhaps less PC. This past May, you had to step down as the executive director of Allianz Malaysia in compliance with Bank Negara's corporate governance policy. So with that move, does that mean that Allianz Malaysia is better governed now?
No, it's just a compliance to a particular regulation. Let's be very clear here. The chairman of Allianz Malaysia happens to be my uncle, but he happens to be there, and I'm here. And we've gone through all the fit and proper. Mm. And I think, and I believe very clearly that the standards of governance has always been very equal, good and then and now. The thing is all about, you know, is about the change. It's not directed at us. It's about the whole market,
right.
And we just comply.
So if it was good then, it's good now. So really the question is, how far will the central bank's policy on corporate governance again go towards ensuring better standards of corporate governance? Or is it just a exercise, you know, just an academic exercise?
Actually, I think it's not. I think it's got to do with some legacy institutions which have some large shareholdings of particular individuals and stuff. So they're trying to rationalize it and try to create a lot more, transparency and less, pressure, less influence from a particular individual in a particular financial institution. I think that's basically why Bank Negara came out with this particular, and Bursa also be working hand in hand to make sure that there's a lot more transparency in large financial institutions, where usually sometimes you have a founder and the founder still has a very good, significant amount of shares there. And I think this is one of the reasons why they're doing this.
Yeah. Okay, real quick now. This one we have to ask of every insurance company that comes through the grill. That MyCC fine of over 200 million ringgit, your subsidiary among the 23 insurance providers accused of being anti-competitive. What do you say to that? Is there any developments on that front?
Yes, I think we've submitted a lot of information to them. We've submitted our replies to whatever accusations that have been made to us. I used the word. I think in October there will be hearings, and we will be then required.
In October?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some oral representations. I say categorically, like I said before, that at no point in time have we acted in any way where we colluded with any of the our competitors to fix prices for. Whatever that was done was in conjunction with guidelines and rules that were set by Persatuan Insurance Arm Malaysia and Bank Negara. And to be very honest, we've got a competitive economist on this. What was done actually benefited the consumer. So I say whatever that's been done actually has benefited the consumer. Now, in any monopolistic action, the crux of the matter is how has this upset the fabric of the economy. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the question that hopefully by October we will be able to prove this.
Yeah. Okay, and we certainly hope so as well, especially in the name of being competitive, right, and ultimately benefiting the end user. All right, so let's end with this then. We understand that you've got less than 3 years left at the helm of Allianz Malaysia. Now, you've spent almost 30 years in the industry. Do you have a succession plan in place?
Allianz always has a succession plan. There's always somebody else around the corner.
Somebody else by the name of?
No. Not going to get that from me. But there'll probably be a lot more excitement in the future. Younger people will come with new ideas, and that's good. It augurs well for Allianz, what's coming. Yeah.
All right. So we'll certainly look forward to that. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Best of luck. I've been speaking to Zakri Kher, CEO of Allianz Malaysia. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.